Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 264 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag tells you about a tennis superstar's interesting move regarding interviews at the French Open. At 12:30, I realize we're excited to attend games again in person, but can we please get a grip on what we think it's okay to do to players? And in a few minutes, we now know the kick times for a few more Texas football games, plus Athlon released their Big 12 preseason all-conference teams. A little bit sparse with Longhorns. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is John Reichel, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Friday, the last Friday of May in 2021. And there's a lot of sports going on. Before we dig into some Texas football, let me give you Texas fans a little bit of an update. It is not often I am able to say this to the Longhorn community, but history is on the line today. Something that has never happened in the history of Texas athletics may happen today. So let me wish some good luck to a couple of young ladies that are playing a sport I love, and I know they're playing it at a much higher level than I ever did. Today, sometime a little later in the morning, because I got to finish a singles match, Lulu Sun, the now legendary national champion, a freshman at UT who helped the team who locked down that last point for the national championship, Lulu and her doubles partner, Kylie Collins, are into the championship match today. This is only the second time a women's doubles team has ever done that from UT, and a Texas women's doubles team has never won an individual national championship. Best of luck to Lulu and Kylie. They are facing some team from North Carolina that's in a mess of trouble. That is supposedly the number 4 seed. But they've already taken out the number 2 seed, Trey. They've already taken out the number 1 seed. They're just fine. They're doing all right. They're going to go after a title later on. So good luck to them. History. Texas, I don't know if you know this, Trey. Texas is, your school's won a few national titles.
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising that that's never happened before. So, yes, best of luck to them, and we're just going to assume that's happening.
Let's hope that it does. Also, plenty of other championships out there for Longhorns to grab. We'll talk some Longhorn baseball, and we'll get into football stuff. How you doing on this Friday before Memorial Day?
It's 60 degrees in the studio, Chad, so I'm a little bit cold right now. I'm about to break into that free Texas Rangers blanket that you have.
Oh, yeah, you do need
on
that?
Top of your bag. Do you mind? No. I mean, it is frigid in here. It's very rare that I get to do the show from the studio.
See if I can open this up.
And I feel like I'm being frozen out right now to ensure that this doesn't happen again.
My brother, I will not, in this case, I'm not giving you the shirt off my back. I will give you the blanket that I acquired.
It's a cool blanket, by the way. The old school Rangers colors.
Well, the fact that we are a Rangers affiliate does come in handy for us Rangers fans in the building every once in a while. They texted me yesterday, hey man, you want a Rangers blanket?
Heck yeah.
I'm like, yes, I do.
Good blanket, now good laying around blanket.
Now it's being used to keep my co-host warm.
Beats the hell out of the smallpox blanket that used to be in the studio.
Yeah, that was scary. That was a scary blanket. We don't have that going on, thank goodness.
Everything is good, though, Chad. I'm only doing an hour today because I'm going to go watch the 6-year-old perform in a talent show a little bit later on at her school.
Ooh, see, I didn't even know why. You told me you had to duck out, and either you told me and I wasn't listening, or you didn't actually tell me the reason that you had to duck out. So it's a talent show.
Yeah.
What type of... Okay, so what are we talking about here? Are we talking like a lot of individual acts kind of a talent show?
Correct.
So what's she a part of? What's she doing?
She is going to do gymnastics for the class.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a world-class cartwheeler.
Solo or as a part of some kind of tandem performance?
Solo, but she did mention me possibly helping her at some point.
Whoa.
I never got the details on that because she was in a mood this morning, so we'll find out.
You're going to be like human pommel horse?
No, what I do is I take her by her hands and then hoist her as high as I can into the sky while still holding on to her.
Oh.
And then she kind of does a little backflip twist back onto her feet.
I like it. Now, do you still have that picture on Twitter where you're throwing... Was it her that you were throwing up in the air?
That's an annual picture, yes.
At a swimming pool or wherever you were?
Yes, it's always in a swimming pool or swimming area. I'm not sure when that's going to have to stop just from the sheer physics of me not being able to lift her in the air anymore.
I was gonna say.
But for right now, it's continuing. And I feel like her gymnastics abilities and her getting to cheerleading now will only help me at least fake like I'm still throwing her in the air that high.
My wife and I used to have this tandem swing we would do with our daughter where we each had a hand, you know, and you do the swing.
Oh, yeah. One, two, three.
I remember that process when my wife and I would kind of look at each other like, how much more do you think? A couple months? 2 years? When are we going to stop this?
So we can still do it with Calvin right now, who's four. I mean, he's a chunker for four, so right. He's not the lightest four-year-old. But whenever we do it for him, Vivi inevitably asks for that to happen with her also.
You start winding that arm?
The amount that she's getting off the ground now isn't all that enjoyable anymore.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, so yes, the Daughter's Talent Show is going to take Trey out of here for the second 2 hours. Got some guests jumping on, our normal guest at one, Dustin McComas, to talk some Longhorn stuff. And I thought I would give all of you, hopefully me, and in a way, Trey, a gift at 2 o'clock. Trey's not the biggest NBA fan in the world, and by that, I mean the NBA took his soul back in 2006 because of their lying, cheating, corrupt ways. And so Trey doesn't always like to discuss the NBA, but our guy Isaiah Collier does. Producer for Bucky and Aaron, you hear him on the Wagner Wire as well, and I always like talking basketball with him in the building, and so I thought I'd talk basketball with him on the show today. We'll do that at 2.
Great guy to talk NBA with.
And I must have him talk, Trey, about the Dallas Mavericks. Since they're up 2 games to none, they are one of the huge stories in the league.
Yes,
and
they
play tonight at home trying to go 3-0. So we'll do all of that. But as we start the show today and dive right in with some football information, we're always looking for information on football around here. If the Longhorns or Cowboys have anything to report, we are going to be bringing it to you. And yesterday afternoon, we found out about some kick times for Longhorn football games. So that is where we will start today. Some, I don't know if it's good or bad news, but it's just kind of news that will help you plan your season, plan your schedule out. So week one, we've been waiting on this one. Texas and Louisiana, we now know it's going to be one of those staggered times that Fox has become fond of.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if everybody else is kicking at 2:30, let's go ahead and kick it up an hour. 3:30 kick on Big Fox for Texas and Louisiana.
Ugh.
Week one, 3:30.
3:30?
Better than 11.
In early September?
Could be a little warm. You're right about that.
Actually, you're right. It is a little bit better because 11 o'clock, the entire stadium is subjected to the sunshine for pretty much the entire game. The 3:30 start, the west side of the stands will start to feel comfortable, I don't know, midway through the third, start of the fourth quarter.
You get to finish okay.
Right.
But yeah, those 11 o'clocks are broilers that you don't plan on.
Yes.
You get halfway through those games and you realize, oh my God, there's no shade all day.
Nope.
At least you get some there with the 3:30. So 3:30 on Fox for Louisiana. The Rice game, which comes up, I believe, on the 18th of September, is now a 7 o'clock kick, and LHN will handle the duties there. Texas and Kansas State. Oh, you always know this is going to happen. Trey, I don't know if, I'm not sure if there's much in sports that the fan base sees as just flat out not true, and they know it's going to change more than when Texas fans see that they're going to play the Saturday after Thanksgiving, because they know it's a lie.
Right.
They immediately know it's a lie. So it's actually going to be Friday, November 26th, and yes, unfortunately, it is an 11 a.m. kick. Big Fox, Texas and K-State, the day after Thanksgiving. I feel like that's now become a tradition of the day after, but they always seem to want to put Texas in that early slot.
Yeah, but Texas has also lucked out with not having to host that game every year anymore. And I feel like, didn't we host it last year? Maybe we didn't. But to get Kansas State here, obviously, is a big boost. Although, I am wondering how many people are going to be willing to travel back to Austin for that game. Because right. When the Longhorns weren't good, and that game was either Texas Tech or TCU every year, you were getting as many Tech and Horned Frog fans in the stands as you were Longhorn fans. Now, that won't be the case 4K State, but considering we may not have as much of a home crowd advantage that day, and I am predicting K-State to be one of the underrated teams in the conference this year, that could be a bit of a trap game.
So what was the, I'm trying to remember how the schedule rolled out last year. Texas was supposed to end in Stillwater, weren't they, on that first version of the schedule?
And, yes.
And then it reverted to something else, but I think they were on the road to finish, weren't they?
They were on the road.
Is it Kansas?
Kansas is who they were supposed to finish with, yes.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I was just pulling it up because I couldn't remember.
And before that, it was at Kansas State, I believe.
I think you're right. Okay, so they ended at Kansas. No.
But that game was...
got canceled. You're right. You're right. Yeah, you're correct. At Kansas State, technically how they finished, they would have finished at Kansas. I think the plan was going to be Stillwater. So it is back home this year, and I do agree that I'm glad they got rid of the idea of making them the Dallas Cowboys around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I didn't think that quite made sense.
It's not even Thanksgiving anymore. It's the day after.
And it probably wasn't fair to kind of everybody that could be there. I like the idea of occasionally maybe Texas having a tough roadie, you know, to finish the year. So those are the three we now know. The other game that kind of worthy of mentioning, there's a couple other games in conference, but apparently the folks at Oklahoma are upset that the Nebraska-Oklahoma game is an 11 a.m. kick on Fox.
I understand their frustration, but isn't this a game that Nebraska didn't even want to play anymore? Wasn't Nebraska trying to get out of this game?
Correct. I think that is right.
And I think Oklahoma and the Big 12 both tried to lobby, whether it's Fox or ESPN, whichever of those channels, to actually put that game at night. And they're like, no, you guys are going to be good, but Nebraska sucks. We understand that this is the 50-year anniversary of that game, but we still have to take what each of these teams means in modern times into account as well. And so you're stuck at 11.
Man, I understand everything you just said, but as I'm looking at the schedule for September 18th for the Big 12, the conference got slapped in the face on that weekend. Like, that is such an insult to the conference. There's nothing, I mean, nothing else worth, there's nothing that's competitive in the conference.
Well,
it's got to be something else around the country.
Yeah, what are the night games that are being played that week on that? You said it's Fox, right?
Yeah, I'll pull up the whole thing for the 18th. I mean, I'm sure it'll make sense once I see it, but like, there wasn't a 6 o'clock slot. There wasn't something you could do.
Now, there were weeks that last year where the Big 12 didn't have any night games because there wasn't a match that was deemed worthy enough of that.
Here we go. Auburn at Penn State. That's the ABC game.
That makes sense.
That would make sense. See if there's anything else that's kind of that would have been the one, I guess, to ultimately replace it. And if you have to pick between those two, yeah, I guess you got to make that choice. But that's a huge slap in the face to the Big 12 and to the history of what that's supposed to mean. Because nowadays, this would be my argument. When they have when they've had Notre Dame and Florida State get together these last couple years, they act like it's a big deal. Even though Florida State has not been great lately, Notre Dame clearly has been good. And it's sort of the same argument you could make. Oklahoma's been very good. Oklahoma's sellable as hell right now. Nebraska is an all-time name that's not all-time good right now. So I would just say, can we get a little respect for the overall there? I get why Castiglione is a little upset. They're going to say, well, come on, we're doing the big Fox show there. And, you know, the game, whatever they call their game day, Fox Big Saturday or whatever. That's not quite enough. Not quite enough if I was Oklahoma. So those are some of the announcements they made yesterday at the Big 12. You can go to big12sports.com to see all that they announced. We've got games all the way into that third week of the 18th, which is when Nebraska plays Oklahoma, and some other games that we will mention. But Texas and Louisiana, not only 99 days away, but 3:30 kick on Fox. We now know it.
Okay, so on that note, Chad, I saw a link through Inside Texas yesterday where somebody had posted Athlon Sports preseason Big 12 football all-conference teams.
Okay.
And I'm putting teams in plural because there are four all-conference teams.
Do we need four?
It surprised me.
That's a lot.
Normally three feels like a stretch, but we get four this year, which gives us more things to talk about.
It does give us more to talk about in May, so let's go.
Would you like the bad news for Longhorn fans first?
Sure, let's
start. Based on preseason stuff, which really doesn't matter all that much.
Let's start with bad news and work our way to the good.
Texas is not well represented on first team offense or defense. Would you like to guess how many Longhorns appear collectively on Athlon's Big 12 football first team offense, defense, and special teams?
First team offense, defense, and special teams. I want to say there are four combined.
Try one.
Wow. Combined of the three?
Yep.
Bijan Robinson?
Yeah. He's the one.
I was about to ask, so is it Bijan or Dicker that gets screwed in this thing?
Yeah.
Not Cameron Dicker?
Dicker's second team kicker.
Okay.
Deshaun Jameson is second team kick returner.
All right.
Now let's move on to second team. Speaking of, would you like to guess how many Longhorns amongst offense and defense end up on the second team?
Offense.
Total number.
Okay, so you're considering Jameson, you just said, as special teams. That's a returner?
We're not going to count Dicker and Jameson as special teams, but yes, they are second team.
First and second team, and you said just defense?
Offense and defense.
Offense, defense, second team. I'm going to say there are six.
Four.
Oof, okay.
One on offense, Derek Kerstetter, who, by the way, his status for like when he gets to go this summer is still undetermined. So this is assuming that Derek Kerstetter can get back up to speed and playing regularly at some point in September. There are three guys on the second team defense.
Okay.
And I think I agree with all three of these names. Alfred Collins on the D-line. DeMarvion Overshown at linebacker. He's a bit of a question mark right now, but I can go with that one. And then also Deshaun Jameson at cornerback.
Okay.
Third team offense. How many Texas guys are there?
Third team. I'll say there's three of those guys.
Zero.
None?
Third team defense. I'll save you a guess. One.
Ooh, I was going to say two. Okay.
Keandre Coburn.
Okay.
Now Ryan Buchevsky shows up as the third team punter.
Wow.
For what it's worth.
Okay.
Fourth team offense, Chad. Fourth team offense for Texas.
Three, I don't know.
good guess.
Yeah!
Roschon Johnson, Joshua Moore, and Junior Angelou. Fourth team defense has zero.
Wow, okay.
So, in total, we have 12 Texas Longhorns who appear on the four teams for the Big 12 that Athlon has put together, which is middle of the pack versus the rest of the conference. Mm-hmm. The low end is Kansas, shocked I know,
right,
with four total.
Wow.
On the four teams. And the high water mark is set by Oklahoma and Iowa State. The Sooners have 18. The Cyclones have 17. So Texas isn't too far off, but they are also still below Oklahoma State and TCU, who both have 14. So Texas has the fifth most guys, so very much middle of the pack for this conference, just ahead of West Virginia and Baylor, who each have 10.
The argument I would make to Texas fans, if you do get into these things preseason and you know find yourself concerned one way or the other, I would argue that this could actually be some good news, because generally to me, in these circumstances, Texas either gets too overcooked or too undercooked. Nobody ever hits it just right in my mind. They either get too much love because they're Texas players, or if Texas is kind of mid-level or down in people's minds, they kick them down too far. They grind. We've seen it year after year where you go, wait a minute, that Texas Tech linebacker, that Kansas State safety, over that Texas, okay. And then we always ask, are we just too close to this because we're covering Texas? So maybe it's a little bit of that where they're just getting a little undercooked. And they also got to give love to Iowa State because they're bringing back so much talent.
Yes, they do. And as a Longhorn fan, I prefer to be a bit undercooked prior to the season, because I think that creates a hungrier Longhorn player versus the guys who are being exalted to the clouds.
Yeah.
And we've seen how quickly things plummet back to earth in those situations. But I also think that this is representative of just where this Texas football team is right now, too. They're going to be better defensively than offensively. They are going to have to build a lot of what they do on offense around Bijan Robinson's capabilities. And, of course, if they're running the football a whole lot more than they are throwing it, the likelihood that they're landing guys on the second and third teams is going to be along that offensive line. You hope Derek Kerstetter can turn back into that leader and a guy who is getting it done week in and week out on the O-line. Junior Angelau making one of those teams would be a big deal too. And I can actually see, especially if what Steve Sarkisian said at the Houston luncheon a couple days ago, where he's trying to get Roschon and Bijan on the field at the same time, I could see Roschon putting up a good enough year if he stays healthy to garner third or fourth team honors.
All right, we're just getting started on a Friday. We'll talk more about that as we are 99 days away from Texas and Louisiana. We now know the kick time is 3:30 in the afternoon. More football coming, as always. Also up next, we'll talk about fan behavior in sports. What is too far for a fan at an event? Well, the NBA's got three different examples of what's too far for them. We'll get you that story and ask you your thoughts. Remember, you can always jump in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Don't move. It's the Horn. Like that guitar. What do you got, John?
Yeah, this is The Strokes with Reptilia.
The Strokes. There you go. All right, it is Friday. We are rolling. John Reichel producing for us today because Trey is able to do an hour, but then he's got to go be a talent show parent.
May even be a prop in this talent show. We'll see.
Could be a prop. You know what? I think prop's not the right word. Coach is not the right word. Co-performer?
Aid. Yeah, co-performer.
A talent show aide. Now, do you foresee yourself booing mercilessly at the other kids to make your kid look better?
No, but I'll probably be distracted by my phone during some of the other performances.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully you will not do something to get thrown out of this venue forever.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, yeah, you can never know for sure, Chad.
You never know. That's happening in the world.
Especially with me.
In the world of sports,
and my lack of patience with other kids.
That's true. You could be giving other parents a lecture and maybe get thrown out. We'll have to get that report next week.
Consequences, Chad.
That's right. Right. Are we doing this right now? Let me tell you about the consequences if you do this right now. So we mentioned some football stuff at the top, Texas football and the three games we know on the schedule. We also have a lot of fan stuff going on in sports right now, so we wanted to get your thoughts on this conversation. Obviously, you guys are sports fans, and we appreciate you being a part of the shows and loving the station. HornFM.com. If you miss anything, HornFM.com to check out the Twitch stream and all kinds of different ways for you to experience us. So the people that have been experiencing the NBA again have been, some of them have been going a little far. We have three different incidents in the NBA that have caused fans to be banned from an arena. The first one was the Russell Westbrook deal. Technically, if we're going to go chronologically, it was another one. But in terms of punishment, Russell Westbrook gets hurt in a game. He's leaving the game in Philly, and the dude dumps popcorn on him. They have revoked his season ticket privileges. He's been banned from the building. Trey, a fan spit on Trae Young in Madison Square Garden. They were able to determine who that was. He's been kicked out of MSG moving forward, and he can't have season tickets. And a group of fans, three of them, verbally attacked Ja Morant's family, saying inappropriate / misogynistic / racist things to Ja Morant's family, to the point that those three people were kicked out of the arena, and I believe their tickets moving forward might have been affected. That's all happened in like a week.
Come on, Utah. Don't play into the stereotype.
Yeah, that's sad to hear.
We all know what we expect out of you.
By the way, this was like Jaws. I think it was his wife or girlfriend, his dad, and then maybe a son or daughter was there too. It's all kinds of weird stuff.
That's embarrassing. Ugh. That's obviously, we don't have the details of what was said to Ja Morant's family, but as far as spitting on Trae Young or dumping food or a beverage, I don't care if it's a superstar like Russell Westbrook or some scrub at the end of the bench. Be better than that. Stop taking for granted this opportunity you have to actually go watch these guys live and in person again. Conduct yourself in a slightly more civilized manner than what has gotten you banned from ever attending games again, you jackass.
Do you think it's an argument of they believe that paying the ticket price allows them to do things, or do you just think it's as simple as go to the game, drink too much, and lose your inhibitions, and you go crazy?
Alcohol may be involved. It's just getting caught up in the moment and wanting so badly to see your team win a game. But in the end, win or lose, we still have to be able to treat one another like human beings.
Yeah.
And you still have a serious home court advantage, even if you don't do some of these other things. I would actually argue your home court advantage is more solid if you're not finding these other little ways to inspire these guys to achieve greatness. Spitting on somebody or pouring popcorn on somebody, all that's going to do is piss that dude off and make him want to do better and oftentimes have him do better.
So the two of those three, there are close series going on right now. The one in Philly is bizarre to me. Assuming that guy's a Sixers fan, they were winning like they won that game 120-90 something. Russell Westbrook had just gotten hurt. He was limping out of that building. He wasn't mouthing at anybody. He wasn't pointing at anybody. He wasn't referencing the crowd. He was just trying to limp his way to the locker room, pissed off that he couldn't contribute to his team. And for some reason, my man still felt the need to pour his whole bucket of popcorn on Russell Westbrook, which you know I have a problem with, Trey, because I'm cheap. Why would you buy popcorn and then not eat the popcorn or save it for a friend?
I almost hate to ask this question because I'm assuming it's been answered at some point, but are we sure it was intentional, not accidental? Like he wasn't leaning over the railing and maybe saying something and he kind of loses his grip on the popcorn and it ends up raining down on him?
It looked intentional to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could actually see the guy dumping the popcorn. Okay. I had only seen the angle where it was showing Russell Westbrook, and I had not seen up high to where the guy was.
He leans. It looks like he pours it out, and also the timing was perfect to where there's no way it could have been accidental the way it rolled out. So
yeah, screw him. You don't get to attend Sixers games anymore, moron.
I just wonder, somebody just texted, spitting on someone should be assault. That's another thing here. Like, the idea of spitting on another human being should be foul, and it should be foul even if you know them.
It is assault.
If you're a friend, if you're a family member, the idea that you'd spit on someone you actually care about on any level, that's so too far. But Trae Young is just some athlete that you obviously... Most people don't know. Maybe this person did, but I'm guessing they don't. But the idea that you'd go to a game and spit on one of the athletes, that is remarkable to me. I'm trying to work through this in my brain. Is this post-COVID? That's another ingredient, I guess, that can be brought in. Is it post-COVID? We've all been inside, Trey. We've all been wearing masks too much. We're freaked out. And when we get out, we just don't quite know how to have nice things anymore. We don't know how to go to Madison Square Garden without spitting on one of the performers.
We already didn't know how to not have nice things, especially at sporting events, especially when you're talking about Knicks fans, by the way, which... Oh. I'm not going to congratulate you and your fellow Aggies, but we now know who the Aggies of the NBA are. That group gets the smallest hint of success. You think that they just won a freaking NBA championship.
Oh my God, did you see Stephen A. Smith the other night?
No.
He was flipping out like they'd won the finals. It was like, we're here, we're here. I'm like, you tied the series at one.
Yeah, you lost your first home game, by the way.
You salvaged a split in the Garden. Calm down.
I didn't see it from Stephen A. Smith, but I saw it from a lot of other people on Twitter where it's like, am I missing something here? You're tied at a game apiece. What is wrong with you?
Dude, my team is up 2-0 in the series. They won them both on the other team's floor. I'm not half as excited as Knicks fans are.
Right.
Not even close, because I know it's a long way from being over.
Knicks fans are like a step beyond Bears fans with how highly they regard their own franchise versus the reality of what they've actually accomplished in the last 40 years. Like, the Bears have the one Super Bowl appearance this century, but their one Super Bowl win in our lifetimes, Chad, was in 1985.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're talking about more than 35 years ago at this point.
Yeah, and they're riding it like it was a year and a half ago.
And it's been even longer for the Knicks. Knicks are what, early 70s?
Right. Willis Reed and that. Yeah. And runs, you know, runs towards the finals. They've appeared in the finals since, but not won it. Yeah,
that's been sporadic too, though.
That's right. The 90s was the last time they were in the finals.
Against
the Rockets, right?
Didn't they make it to the finals? And I think it was 99, that shortened year, versus the Spurs, too.
You're right. Yes, the Spurs beat them. Yeah. Good call. This text says, I'm hearing people say it's just popcorn. No, that's a grown-ass man acting like a little kid. Come on, grow the hell up.
Just like with spitting, if you are in somebody's face and you're like trash-talking that other person, guess what will turn it into a full-fledged fight? If you spit in that person's face, or let's say you had like a bottle of ketchup or something, you just spray that person with ketchup. What happens at that point?
Yeah, with whatever
punches are thrown.
Right, whatever's nearby.
Right,
water, coffee. Now you hope it's not coffee, because then the temperature of the liquid comes in. But you know, if you're arguing with somebody and they throw a cup of water in your face, well, that's insulting on the same type of level. It is an amazing thing we're watching. I don't know how new it is. I don't know if it's like an old man conversation that we're having in 2021. I can't believe these kids are acting like this.
But it's not kids. Isn't it people our age that are doing some of this stupidity?
In some cases, right. It is full-grown adult. Now, the guy that poured the popcorn on Russell Westbrook, I'm going to guess I didn't see his face. I saw him walking up the... Like, if I had to guess, I'd say his age starts with a 2.
Okay.
If I had to guess.
Okay.
But so that's on the younger side. And Russell Westbrook, I mean, I felt bad for him after the game, just as much as it appears that he gives to the game and how much he gets. He's just like, man, it's just too far. Like the idea that they can just come do whatever they want. It's like there's this weird pact that people somehow make with athletes. Once you become an athlete and you are famous, actors, it's the same thing. When you're famous and you're making millions of dollars, there's a group of people that believe you give up your right to privacy, dignity, just basic human stuff. That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for him, man. It is a whole nother level of discussion.
All right. That's what we have to say about this. Let's hear what our friend Tom McKay of Audiovisual Consultations has to say about it. He is on the Vaqueros hotline right now. What's up, Tom?
No, I got to like the last minute of this conversation. Unfortunately, I was in a meeting, and I got like 8 people texted me asking me where I was and why I wasn't on the radio.
Wow.
So, well, here you are.
I had to text the end of this to hear it, because I think they'll know exactly why they wanted me. And now I know why they all wanted me to call y'all, because, guys, this is exactly what's been going on. We can blame anything we want. It's been going on for the last 15 years. Nobody disciplining anybody anywhere. People running rampant. The fact that and Chad, nothing against you, but you use one, they're acting like a child. The fact is, if a child does that, they get their ass whooped so hard by the parents, it's not even funny. But these kids are growing up now, and they're not getting whooped. And so they think this is okay. People actually think it's okay to spit on somebody else that's had it. I mean, I go to hockey games all the time, you know, all these other sporting events. People act like such turds to these athletes and everybody without any respect for the fact that they're watching. It's like when you go to a movie and they won't turn off their phone. They keep texting and things. There's no respect for anybody around or anybody else, because there's no discipline from about the time they're 2 on for the majority of these people growing up these days. And it's unfortunately, it's becoming the norm, and I agree we need to do that.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tom.
Here we go. Thank you for the call, Tom. Good. Have a good day, brother. Have a good day. All right. There we are. Have a good day. All right.
You know what needs to happen, Chad?
What's that?
More people need to hear my consequences speech.
That is absolutely
starting
true.
With Tom McKay and dropping an S-bomb.
Starting with Tom McKay.
On the air.
Yes. And if they could actually, they need your consequences speech, and preferably.
That was great.
If they could get your consequences speech while you're wrapped up in the Rangers blanket, I think it would be better. Because you really have a nice kind of Godfather vibe going on about you right now.
The consequences to our actions, Chad.
I don't think I'd use the voice, but I think I'd go with the blanket. All right, coming up, let's talk some more about fans. It's not really a fan discussion. This one's more about the athletes and the media, because there is a big-time athlete that has decided
Well, she's not going to talk to the media for a little while. Tell you that story, get Trey's thoughts on it. Also, I got a couple wild stats for you, and if you're a Mavs fan, you're going to love one of these stats. It's coming up on the Horn. We are rolling through a Friday. What do you got there, John?
We got the Electric Six with Danger, High Voltage.
All right. John Reichel producing for us. Trey's going to be ducking out of here at 1 o'clock because he's got to go watch a talent show. His six-year-old daughter's going to be showing off a little bit. Gymnastics routine.
She's a crazy cartwheeler, Chad.
She's going to be getting her Simone Biles going for the crowd today.
I found her weakness, though, because she likes... We all have a strong side when it comes to throwing or kicking or even doing cartwheels.
Mm-hmm.
She has her strong side, so I've challenged her to get good at doing cartwheels on the other side.
Oh.
And she's struggling with that.
You're a left-handed layup dad, aren't you? You're one of those guys.
Well,
you're just focused. All they want to do is show you their layup, and what are you telling them? You know you might want to do that from the left side.
It's the sport that best shows this off is soccer. Those who can use both legs.
Yeah.
Are that much more effective on the pitch, but it works in all walks of life. And for something like gymnastics, where you're already setting a baseline for balance and coordination, some other things like that, by having kids do it this early on, if you can get them to become even moderately comfortable with the other side, it will do wonders for the rest of their lives.
All right, so Trey's going to be getting out of here at 1. But before we do, I want to get his thoughts on this Naomi Osaka thing, and we got a couple other things in the crap bag, so let's go here.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations. That is the crap bag, if you're listening, Tom. 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Before we get into Naomi Osaka, a couple of things. One, I am wearing the Ole Miss shirt today for a reason. Ole Miss girl sent me an email, Trey. They're so excited in Oxford. They have won the national championship in women's golf. And if you want to get technical, this is the first team sport Ole Miss has won a national title in anything, anything, men or women. Now, they do have three football national championships. They claim from the 50s and 60s, teams that combine to lose exactly one game, and none of them have an outright national title. So we might want to, you know, look at the system back in those days. But other than that, they don't have any other team title. So congratulations. First NCAA recognized team national title for Ole Miss. So I thought I'd rock the shirt for him today. Also, a couple of crap bag stats. One of them shows off one of our favorite old guys. Trey, the stat is having 13 or more strikeouts the last 100 seasons of baseball. Having 13 or more strikeouts in a game if you're 41 years old or older. All right?
Okay.
That's the stat.
All right.
Rich Hill just joined the stat. He did it for the first time in his career. Randy Johnson did it one time. Gaylord Perry did it one time. Nolan Ryan did it more than once. You want to guess how many times?
Oh, good Lord. 12?
41 or older, 13 strikeouts in a game. Well done. 13 times for Nolan Ryan. Congrats to Nolan. Also, for you Mavs fans, here's some good news going into tonight. In this series, the Mavericks have shot 50% from three-point range. But when they are guarded by Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, or Patrick Beverly and shoot a three, they shoot 52%. Sounds good. I hope that continues. All right, Trey, so here is the Naomi Osaka story. Naomi is, for people who don't recall, she is the number two ranked women's tennis player on earth. She's won four majors. She has been really influential on some social justice stuff, and she was the one that wore the different masks at the U.S. Open with a different name on it of an African American that had been killed by a police officer and trying to speak out on all that.
Okay.
Really thoughtful. The press conferences are always great. So Naomi has decided she's not going to do press for the French Open. And she is citing mental health concerns as part of her reasoning.
Okay.
So, but it's a very general kind of discussion. She's not saying she feels mentally worn down or, anything like that. But she is discussing, I'm trying to get her exact quote here so I know
I know exactly what I'm saying here. Yes, I'm writing this to say I'm not going to do any press during Roland Garros. I've often felt that people have no regard for athletes' mental health, and this rings true whenever I see press conferences or partake in one. We're often sat there and asked questions that we've been asked multiple times before, and I'm just not going to subject myself to people that doubt me. The money part of it is she can get fined up to $20,000 each time she says no to this. So, Trey, for people that don't know tennis, that's about 140 grand. She is willing to hand somebody else, and she says, I hope that fine money goes to mental health causes or whatever it is. So give me your thoughts on this. I'm trying to figure out exactly where I land on this decision by Naomi Osaka.
I guess I don't understand why she's doing it. Like, I know she stated her reasons, mental health, but, like, is that really what it is, or her just not wanting to deal with the media, not wanting to deal with repetitive questioning, which I agree is an obnoxious part of all of this, but that makes it easier to give answers. And if nothing else, maybe you can go out there and do the Marshawn Lynch thing where you're giving one-word answers to everything to make it less likely that people are going to want to ask you questions, especially the same question rephrased over and over again.
It's almost two separate issues to me of, do you need to have the press conference? If you want to have that talk, because the reason we know this is she put it on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. These athletes have a way of conducting press conferences without having a press conference. That's right. Something that, you know, I think should be discussed here. If you have, again, if you have 1,000 followers on Twitter, you're conducting a press conference for 1,000 people every time you hit a button. So she may be discussing that, but that's not what she said. She's talking about mental health concerns. And I could argue that if I am asking a tennis player a question, well, how do you know I don't care about their mental health? Because if they just got destroyed in a match, I might ask the question differently.
Right.
Versus if they just won or whatever. So I could argue that maybe that gets crafted a little differently. Number one player in the world, Ash Barty, says it's part of the job. Novak Djokovic said it's uncomfortable sometimes. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but we got to do it since we know what we sign up for as professional tennis players. I can't really comment on what Naomi is feeling or her decisions that she makes. So he says, yeah, is it hard sometimes? Yeah, but we've got to do it. So it's unique. It's weird that a bunch of people would ask you about your job after you do your job, but you're willing to give them $140,000 for a principle. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Yeah, I just don't really, like, I know what she said. I just don't, it's not clicking with me that's the actual reason why. Like, I feel like she's not being totally forthright with why she's deciding to do this.
Because she is who she is, the Women's Tennis Association, the WTA, has said that it would welcome dialogue with Osaka on her decision to boycott the news conferences. They want to talk to her about it.
Well, and that's the other thing. It kind of feels like she's caught everybody off guard here. Like, maybe you do try to have those conversations first to figure out if there's a way to maybe more productively try and raise awareness for this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe there's something that you can be doing within press conferences or something that you could be wearing or something that could be a part of the backdrop of press conferences that can raise awareness about mental health issues. And I don't know. I feel like there's more to this story that she's not sharing with us yet. Hopefully that comes out at some point. But then again, it might involve compromising somebody's anonymity, somebody who truly feels like mental health issues are being perpetuated by the fact that they are having to speak with the media after matches.
In basketball, we saw Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan step up and talk about their battles with depression.
Yes, Royce White was the first one who needs to get mentioned every time we talk about this in the NBA because he actually got ostracized for this, but he did pave the way for the Kevin Loves of the league.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, he was one of those early guys too. But again, I don't know specifically if Naomi Osaka is going through something like that. The discussion is out there. It's just a weird connection to me. I'm not going to talk to the media. Why? Because I don't think that media members consider the athlete's mental health
right
in press conferences. And I'm just thinking, boy, in 2021, how's that going to go over? And already there's a text that came in and all it says is snowflake athletes. That's how it's going to go over with some fans. You're making millions and millions of dollars. And it is weird, we know. But what we're asking you to do is sit down at a table and they're going to ask you questions about what just happened. You can refuse to answer any question you want. You can answer two or three and leave. you're required to show up. And that's, I mean, I don't know.
It does feel a little bit to me like she is just annoyed with the process. And so she kind of threw the mental health thing out there to try and disarm the argument against her doing that.
Maybe you're right.
I hope that I'm wrong about that. That's just the intuitive sense that I get from this story.
We'll continue to talk about that. If you have thoughts on it, the Specs text line is there, 337-3776. All right, Trey, you go be the best talent show parent you know how to be. And if you're part of this, if you actually become part of the act, I need you to be solid. I don't need you to distract. I need you to show her off. I do not need you to make this about you.
Well, Chad, there are consequences if any other kids defeat my daughter Vivian in the talent show. And those consequences are fights with other parents.
Oh, man. So help me. If you get thrown out of that building forever, then you're being the crap bag for the next month.
Am I allowed to spit? Is this allowed at 6-year-old talent shows?
Do not spit at any 6-year-old at the talent show.
What about popcorn? I think there is going to be some popcorn served there. Am I allowed to dump popcorn on others?
No throwing of popcorn is allowed. Have a good weekend, sir.
Thank you, too.
Trey Elling headed off to a talent show. If you, too, are headed to the talent show, either that one or another one this afternoon, we hope your kid does well also. And do not spit and do not throw popcorn. All right, coming up, your 1 o'clock hour starts with Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. Big baseball game for the Longhorns at some point tonight when all this other stuff gets done. I'll reset that for you. Also coming up at 1:30, a story about the Big 12 and their TV partners that we just want to make you aware of in 2021. It's going to matter much later than 2021. Stay with us. It's the Horn.